Hello, I'm Danny Aiken, president of Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. We want to thank you for listening to this chapel message. Our mission at Southeastern is to seek to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ by equipping students to serve the church and fulfill the Great Commission. We hope that you enjoy this chapel message and that you will visit our website. It's www.sebts.edu. There you can learn more about our school and what the Lord is doing here. We hope you enjoy the message. Thank you for being a part of what we're doing here.
If you would, open your Bibles to Lamentations chapter 3. As you turn, I have to confess that Justin, who has just left, was one of my scapegoats in Hebrew class this semester, and just goes to show God has a sense of humor, but rightfully so. Turn to Lamentations chapter 3. Turn to chapter 3, verses 19 through 27. The great is thy faithfulness passage. We know the hymn better than we know the text, and we really don't know that well the context of the book. We don't like too well all the suffering and the lamentation and the sorrow and the pain that is there in Lamentations. Nor do we know the background, and I believe the background is the book of Jeremiah. We dispute the authorship of Lamentations. But I know of no one other than Jeremiah at this time, in this place, in this situation, circumstance, that would be able to pen such words as these in Lamentations. He can identify with the suffering of the people, but also he knew more than suffering. He knew more than sorrow. He knew that there was a cause for hope, and he declared it. I believe that Lamentations, in many ways, is the complement, the addendum, the excursus, the completion of Jeremiah. We hear in Jeremiah chapter 1, when God called him as a youth, a Nair, that in turn, do not recoil from what I say, but go where I tell you to go and say what I tell you to say, Deuteronomy 18:18. Be a true prophet. And not only that, but I want you to preach a message that is pluck up, pull down, overthrow, and destroy, build, and to plant. Six infinities there in verse 10 of chapter 1. And that was a hard message for Jeremiah to preach. In 40-plus years, he preached it. But it began to grind upon him, and it began to pull upon him. And he struggled, as in chapters 11 through 20. But God said more than once in chapter 1 that I will be with you to nastao, to deliver you, as in this midst of all of this opposition. They will fight against you, the kings and the princes and the people of the land. But do not be dismayed by them, for I am, again, with you. Gird up your loins, for I will be with you. There is a battle to be fought, and Jeremiah, I'm going to make of you a city, not just a typical city, but I will make of you a fortress city, a fortified city. I will make of you a pillar, yea, better, a column of iron. I will make of you a wall of brass. Well, I've always pondered the book of Jeremiah and wondered about this man, and I try to strive to know his peace, his victory, his power, his freedom. I would like to think and be able to say that I have come to understand what he came to understand of the hope that is ours in Jesus Christ. But as soon as I think that I've come into the shadow of this man, I find that he has turned around the bend, and yet he is ahead of me, always ahead of me, pressing onward. Oh, it's been a lifelong journey. And as I journey through this book, through decades, I still ponder, what does a column of iron look like? We have columns in this building. They stand. In fact, the word column from Amud means to stand, Amud, that which stands day and night, good and bad, when we're here and when we're not, these columns stand. They stood also through Fran. She wasn't very much of a nice lady, was she? Shows how long I've been here. Or Floyd or whatever else. They stand. We will see in this book, when no one else really is standing, Jeremiah is standing like a column of iron that will not bend, will not break. What did it take to make Jeremiah into this column of iron? What does it take to make him into a defense bulwark, a defense city? What did it take? Do we want to go that way? Do we want to go as in chapter 6? By the way, Dr. Patterson in his office shared with me one time that this verse means much to me in the time of his struggling there at Criswell. For I have chosen to walk the ancient paths, though none go with me, yet I will walk that ancient path. Are we willing to walk the path to know the freedom, to know the joy, to know the victory, to know the power and the hope that this man knew? I read in chapter 40 of Jeremiah about how it is that my Nebuzaradan, boy, what a name. But he was the captain of the guard, and he was actually literally the chief executioner. Some of you think that's our job now at this time of the semester. Pay attention. But nonetheless, Nebuchadnezzar told him from Ramah, the center of his headquarters for the campaign against Jerusalem. He said, I want you to treat Jeremiah fair, for we have heard of his preaching. We know of what he has said, accused of treason, and all of these things. I want you to go and treat him well. And Nebuzaradan, he came and said to Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 40, he says, come with us. Come with us to Babylon. You talk about a retirement plan, but he turned it down. Talk about a person who needs and deserves a break today. So let's get up and get away from seminary and let's roll in the grass when summer vacation comes. I have known sorrow and affliction and I'm ready to go. Boy, the Hanging Gardens and the Ishtar Gate. I deserve a break. I'm going with you. No, he did not go. What made him stay? What made him stand as a column of iron? He didn't verbally give answer to Nebuzaradan. But in his actions, he stayed. And he said, well, if you stay, so be it. But wherever your foot trots, you're from, in between the lines, Benjamin, Anathoth, the priestly city. If you want Anathoth, if you want between the lines, Benjamin, if you want the crown jewel of the northern kingdom, Ephraim, it's yours. No. And he did it in obedience and was obviously mocked there in the court of the guard there in Jerusalem, for no one else wanted that land. He probably not the nearest kinsman. But he goeled that tract of land, and God said in so many words, as you goeled that parcel of land that is worthless, so understand I will, though the word is not there, I will goel my people and I will build them and I will plant them as I promised to you. I say, look to the Saked, the almond branch, and to that which springs forth and blossom early in the spring. And so will I, Zoked, I will watch over my word to bring it to pass. And so he did that very thing. And we will find in this text a little column of iron, if you please, like these columns, speaking into the most steadfast one, even as we said, this one, on Christ the president gets free parking next year there in front of Staley. He answered the question first. The rest of you, there will be a quiz after this sermon. On Christ the what? Solid rock. Aren't you glad he's unmovable, immutable, unchangeable, forever the same, casting no shadow in his turning, for he has no bias in that regard. I'm so glad that now stands this frail, fragile shell of a man, blackened by starvation, withered by the affliction, speaking in behalf of the people and himself to the Lord. And he expresses for us what we need to know and understand. So it is. God said to him, I will make of you, and he did. It's Lamentations that allows us to hear him answer and see him stand, as to which no other place, even in Jeremiah. Let's read from Jeremiah chapter 3, verses 19 and following. Remembering my affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy, come on, class, faithfulness, thy amunus. Yes. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. You know, Lamentations, that is an acrostic poem. We have 22 letters, 22 verses, chapter 1, chapter 2, 4, and 5. We have 66 verses in chapter 3. We have before us now the letters Zion and the key word Zakar to remember. And we have the next letter, Ket, which in turn is his Kesed day of Yahweh, the covenant love of the Lord, his everlasting covenant love. And we have Tov, Tet, again and again and again, in the last three verses, the Lord is good. See, much like Ecclesiastes, the author knew all the way through that the answer to his quest for the ultimate good is God. For anything under the sun, not under God, is kavel. Kavel is empty, is vain, is void, is meaningless. But we who are under God, we can obey him and fear him, knowing that there is a day of restitution, a day of judgment, and he will honor his word, and there is that day beyond. The worm in the end does not win, for God has an answer even for death itself. And we know that is life in Christ. Well, we come to the passage, and we hear the cry. Actually, it's an imperative. Most of the imperatives in Lamentations appear toward the end of each chapter. Not each one, but generally as a rule. They come to the end, very much like a psalm that would invoke God and to bring supplication to him. And even lament unto him. He says, remember. Remembering doesn't quite cut it, as in the King James. Remember my ethne, Bethany, my ethne, my affliction. Remember the imperative as he speaks to God and speaks in his behalf. And remember also that of the people. Remember, O Lord, my affliction, my poverty, my sorrow, my suffering. Remember my affliction. Remember my wanderings and my going back and forth. Remember as I have struggled. I'm thinking of the time there in chapters 11 through 20 in the five confessions. God says they want to kill you, Jeremiah. Oh God, bring vindication upon them, bring judgment upon them, vengeance upon them. Oh Lord, bring it now. I will in my year of visitation. That's more than 20 years later. Oh, Lord, I mean, now bring it. Oh, Jeremiah, what are you going to do, Jeremiah, when in turn you falter now running with men and then you have to run with horses? What are you going to do? I have an answer for that. He'll run the horses into the ground. For when we come to the end, this man, frail and fragile, starved as the others, there was no bread in the city. He will talk of a portion that is the Lord. Sufficient he is unto him and unto us. Remember, remember the wormwood, the bitterness, the gall. Better than gall, it's poison. Better than poison, it's venom is the word at the end of the first verse. Remember, like there at the Holocaust building in D.C., above it, it is that very verb. Remember, never forget. Remember, remember. But I'm glad to tell you, we are to do more than remember the affliction and the sorrows and the sufferings that we bring upon ourselves, that God brings because of our waywardness or of the waywardness of others. Remember, goes on and he testifies in that second verse. He puts the infinity absolute, same verb, in front of the finite verb in the imperfect. My soul shall surely indeed truly remember. Oh, remember, and my falling downness, suak, my falling down, coming short, oh, even unto a depression of mine that is upon me, that is against me, I shall not forget. Wow. I would like to think that I would stand as he is stood, walked the ancient paths as he walked. But I know that I falter, I stumble, I complain. But he ceased his confessions in chapter 20 when he realized the word of God burned as in the marrow of his bones. He understood that God was with him to nastal, to deliver him, that he never had forsaken him, that he was him. You, with you, with you, with you, all the way through, I am with you. He argued, but Lord, you are greater and stronger than I. They mock me, they curse me, they all pitch for me. Oh, they devise devices against me. Everybody hates me, Lord. Oh, Lord. I want to quit. I wish that I were dead. He knew the only exit from a calling is death. President leaned over and told me, we have guests with us today. We don't apologize for the word. If you're called, you're called. And the only exit is when we go to be with the Lord. If we even forfeit the initial calling, we're still called. There's ministry out there by the bukus. We're called, you're called. And Jeremiah, like Job, wished that he were not born. My ethne, Bethany, house of Ani. The Lord visited that place. That was his Capernaum of Jerusalem, if you can say it that way. And he struggles. Oh, my depression of mine. It surely shall ever be a part of me, upon me. Yea, even in times against me. I'm so glad. Like Ecclesiastes, Jeremiah knew the answer before he even penned these words. See, he speaks of himself, and he speaks on behalf of the people. We know that they were starving to the point that we are told in Lamentations that a miscarriage, a child no more than the span 9 inches long, was eaten for food, that the old men when they died and the younger men and children, their tongue stuck to the cleft of their mouth and there was nothing to nurse, there was nothing to eat. The children begged for crust of bread, there was nothing to eat. As God said in Deuteronomy 28, 53, and 57, even the time will come if you fail to love me and obey me and keep my statutes and ordinances, that you will eat your own flesh, the flesh of your own family. And again, it's told. That's why people don't like the book of Lamentations. The Jews understand it. They understand it well as they read it once a year. As they think about the destruction of Jerusalem, they know within this book that the main thrust of the book, though it's a lament, it is lament. But stop lamenting. There's a day coming that God is going to do a great and mighty work. And he will do it not because of you and me, but because of these words that are coming. So the column of iron, 85 pounds, skin and bones. He who had been thrown into a pit, put in stocks, beaten and accosted, mocked and ridiculed. Where is the word of Jeremiah? Oh, Jeremiah, you need to get an inviolability t-shirt.
That's an inside joke for those who had me in class. Oh, my. You need a Sennacherib birdcage. Hezekiah caught up in a birdcage with a big circle and a cross through a diagonal bar. Oh, he thought you couldn't escape, but with God we know we're safe. God promised David. He intervened with Hezekiah. So, in turn, we can do whatever we want to. Wrong. Wrong. And as Hosea said to the north, so also Jeremiah says to the southern kingdom, God is going to pluck up. God is going to pull down. God is going to destroy. He's going to tear down. But I'm so glad to tell you today that God plows in order to plant. He tears down in order to build. This is in the building time. This is in the planting time. This is when, in turn, after the buying of the field, I will build and I will plant my people again in the land. And so Jeremiah continues and he says, I don't just remember. Oh, but he says, this, another Zion, this I... And he says, I cause in the hill, I cause to shoot, to return and to return and to return again and again and again within my live, within my heart, within my mind, within my very being. I cause it. Listen, we need to move beyond our belly aching and complaining to recall these truths that are here in the text before us. It is this that gives us cause for hope. It is this that makes the hymn so meaningful. Great is thy faithfulness. This I recall, and therefore I have kayal. Therefore I have a cow. Therefore I have hope. I will patiently wait upon the Lord with hope. Patiently wait upon the Lord again and again. I will do this very thing. How could you do that? When he moves from Zion to Ket, we've already heard it, because of the Kesed, Kesedah, because in the midst of all of this instability, fluidity, uncertainty, all of this destruction and devastation and demolition, in the midst of all of this that was all of it, turmoil and anxiety, in the midst of the virgin daughters being violated, in the midst of the young men of Judah being slain, in the midst of the pouring out of the blood of the bones of the men and the women and the children, and they who were of a length of a span were eaten in the city, when the cloud of God's wrath, his nostrils flared, was still coming up of the smoke off of the city. Jeremiah declares, I tell you why I have hope and I can patiently wait. It's because of God's covenant, loyal, faithful, steadfast, kindness, goodness, mercy, love. His covenant love toward us. How in the world could he say that? Same way Hosea said in chapter 11, Ephraim, Ephraim, as right before the fall of the northern kingdom. Ephraim, how should I give thee up, O Ephraim? I should do unto you as I did in Admon and Zeboam, the twin sister cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. The turnings are within me as I have dealt with you, dealt with you, dealt with you. But I shall not do. I shall not bring you to an end. Why? Oh, very profound, for I am God and not man, the Holy One in the midst of thee. Now listen carefully. I will not visit in your cities. Just as God stepped back there at Sinai in his holiness because of the wretchedness of his people, lest he were to destroy them. So again, God stepped back, lest in turn there in the northern kingdom, as the bringing of the Assyrians, cruel as they were, he preserved his share'er, his remnant. He stepped back. He stepped back in order to preserve his people and was showing his covenant, loyal, faithful love. When you come to understand in the midst of this devastation and destruction that God is still a loving God, you have moved far in your theology. There's a lot of horsey-ducky stuff out there that just drives me crazy. Oh, God, feed me with your word. Help me to come to stand in the shadow of the prophets. of the apostles. For when you stand there and you walk with them, you know that in turn, you just look around their shoulder and you know who you'll see. You'll see the greatest apostle, Christ himself, sent with a message, with authority to proclaim that message. You'll see the greatest self-disclosure and proclamation of by a prophet of all who have ever come. You'll see Christ. And so he says, it's because of the chesed of the Lord. It's because of his mercy. God stepped back. Well, let me tell you, Ezekiel's already written by this time that God has Ichabod, Jerusalem. He has stepped back. He has stepped back lest he in his holiness were to visit and bring destruction. He is a stepping back God as at the time of A.D. 70 and when Titus came, he had already rent that veil saying, this is no longer a valid place of worship. But aren't you glad he doesn't just step back, he also steps down. Aren't you glad he's a coming down, seeking out kind of a God who, in turn, will step down in history, coming to us in our miry muckness, and confronting us, seeking to bring, even as in our text, quietly waiting for his Yeshua. So it is. It's because of his chesed, everlastingness, beginning to echo and to mirror the column of iron that God has forged and fashioned through the fiery heat, as Peter would say, our faith more precious than gold being tried as by fire, might abound and redound in glory and praise and honor, even at the appearing of his revelation of his coming. Oh, it's by fire that the gold is refined. It's by fire and tribulation that iron is forged into strong iron that makes it to stand, and having done all to stand. And so Jeremiah says, also because of his recomp. Oh my, it's because of his chesed that we are not tamud, we are not finished. And it is because the very word kalah, finished, it is not finished his rakum, or in turn, his mercy, his kindness, as within a baby within the womb. So his mercy and pity is toward us. It's without end. How can you say that, Jeremiah? How can you see that, Jeremiah? How can you stand, Jeremiah, in such a day and hour as this? I tell you why. Because his hope was built on nothing less than this one of chesedness, if I can coin the word. He stood and he saw what I yearned to see. It would be great if I could just stand as he stood and see what he saw and declare and say what he said with understanding. And he declared and said, oh, it's because of this. He went on and he said to them in this middle stanza, in the middle of this passage, he says, because of that, listen to these words. They are new every morning. What are new? His chesed and his rakum. His pity, his mercy, his kindness, his covenant everlasting love are new every morning. Great is thy, what is it? Faithfulness. It's easy to see. But Jeremiah now was showing it. He stood as a pillar of iron that would not bend, that would not break, that would not turn to the right or to the left. Like the Lord who set his face like a flint unto the cross, so he stood steadfastly there in the midst of the city. Nebuzaradan, he did not articulate the answer. He showed the answer, but now we hear the answer. It is the Lord's faithfulness. He is forever faithful. If he is not faithful, then why are we here today? Oh, he who will come in Revelation 19 upon his vestiture is written faithful and true. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that he's true to his word and his word is true to him? The very word that he struggled with in chapter 20, he struggles with no more. Anybody struggling with the message of God? Oh my, aren't you glad that we can preach the word of God, the good news to anyone, anywhere, any place? And if you have to change your gospel, then quit preaching it when you go to Chad or to Burma or wherever else. Preach the word of God. and you don't have to add to it, and you better not change to it. This is good news. I don't care if you're rich or you're poor. You need a message of hope. I don't care if you're depressed or you're up on top of the hill. You still need to know the truths of this passage so that in the good times and the bad times, in the devastation times, we have a gospel. We have a good news. We have the only message that makes sense. And this message is centered in Jesus Christ. We're moving that way. And so he says, oh, great is thy faithfulness. Oh, Lord, the faithfulness theme is in your covenant love. The faithfulness theme is in your come toward us. Your faithfulness theme is in your steadfastness, your amenness, if I could say it. Let it firmly be established. It is certain. It is soulness. That is who you are, God. You are more steadfast than these columns in this building. They will perish one day, but I tell you, the rock of ages, cleft for me, it will never, never pass away. That foundation, that steadfast stone, will not be to us who believe a stumbling block, but it will be unto us a rock of refuge, a sanctuary, yea, a cleft and a rock in a dry, thirsty land. Anybody yearning for that? Anybody want to be free? Anybody want to have peace and power? Anybody want to walk the ancient paths, like Jeremiah? It's a path. It's a tough path. Oh, but the rewards are great. No one else saw what he saw. No one else said what he said. But what he said is the ultimate culmination of the ministry that he called him to do, to build and to plant. And then of all things, the last cat, he says, my collect, my portion. I believe this is the answer to the chief executioner. Though he may not be standing there, and I don't think he was, as he is looking upon Jerusalem in devastation, destruction, annihilation, demolished, and all of the hideous scenes and stench that would be a part of that city. What does he say? My portion is the Lord. My portion is the Lord, saith my soul, therefore will I hope, a cow patiently wait on him. The third letter, Ted. Good, good, good. Who in the world? You have to be crazy, Jeremiah, to say good, good, good. Mm-mm. We say it so glibly sometimes. God is good all of the time. All of the time. Yeah, you were convicting yourselves in your tone and intonation. You mean in this situation God is good? Let me tell you, if he ain't good in this situation, there ain't no good news. But our good news is not built upon circumstance, but is built upon Jesus Christ, who is not flippant or capricious, who is not this one day and something else in the next. He is immutable, unchangeable. He is the great, great, faithful one. In his love, in his come, he is amen, 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 certain and so. This is who he is. And therefore, again, I patiently wait. He comes to the goodness and he changes the word for wait and hope to kawa. And it means to wait eagerly. Eagerly? Jeremiah, you bought that field for who knows what. You redeemed it. You goeled it. But you said it 70 years. You won't be alive. You have 40 plus years in the ministry. You add that up. 17, 20 when you're called. And whatever. Jeremiah, you won't get a dime off that shekel, if you please. Oh, but the Lord's my portion. And I will not only wait patiently, but I will wait eagerly with anticipation. In the middle of the mess of the devastation, I will wait patiently. I will wait patiently. Then the Lord, he says, is good to them that wait kawa for him, to the soul that seeketh, that seeks him diligently. Oh, it is good that a man should both what? Hope, kaya, a cow, and to quietly wait patiently, quietly for that Yeshua, the Yeshua of the Lord. Yes. Jeremiah understood that, hey, God's plowing plant. I believe that, Jeremiah says. I don't need to go to Hanging Gardens, Ishtar Gates. I don't need the tribe of Benjamin. In fact, I don't need anything but the Lord, to tell you the truth. Because he said he would be with me to nestle me, and I want to declare to any and all he is faithful to his word. Oh, I'll never, ever, ever, ever forget my affliction, my poverty, the wormwood, the gall, the poison, the venom. I'll never forget it. Oh, but I will constantly cause to recall and remember, to remember again and again and again and again and again. And therefore I have cause to wait patiently and to hope in the Lord. Because of his kesed, because of his rakum, because of his amunah, he is my portion. Echoed by the words of Christ, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Oh, it is good to wait eagerly with hope for the, yea, even silently for the salvation of the Lord. It's good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for this to come. Could you be quiet? My wife, she calls me motor mouth. I know she loves me. But she said, most men don't talk as much as you do. Sometimes I just wish she'd be quiet. Last day's confession time. You come by my booth and we'll work it out. You know, there's a time just to be silent and to wait upon the Lord. For his salvation is coming. In verse 1 of chapter 3, he said, I am the Geber. The word again used here. That's a young man. How can you say that? Because a warrior in the kingdom has nothing to do with age. It has to do with what? Understanding. You can be 90 years old and be a Geber in God's kingdom and in his army. And some of the greatest Gebers, warriors, God also is a mighty warrior God. Gabor, Elohim, Isaiah chapter 9. I am the Geber who has known affliction. And he ends and he says, it is good, echoing Ecclesiastes in the wisdom literature, it is good that a Geber will bear up the yoke of his youth. As in your youth, remember thy Creator. Because there is a day that will end all this mess. A judgment day. Then will come full righteousness. I believe the message of this book is intentionally put within the letters of Zayin, Ket, Tet. And the first word units of the first line give meaning to the central idea of great is thy faithfulness. Imperative that carries all the way through. Remember. Remember my affliction. Also understood. Remember God's covenant steadfast love. For he who steps back in Kesed will also in Kesed step down in history and again in history. Why? For the Lord is good. I don't know if you have eyes to see, but I yearn to have eyes to see this. But see, Jeremiah didn't speak just of himself and for the people. I believe here in the heart of the true message of Lamentations, he speaks in behalf, and it's no accident that the verses that follow have clear messianic implications, some directly, to the coming Messiah. See, the Lord would say to you and me, remember my affliction. In a gushy, gushy worship, It would be well if we preached on the cross more than Easter time. Lest I forget Gethsemane. Lest I forget thy agony. Lest I forget thy what for me? Thank you. Lead me where? To Calvary. Oh, Lord, may we never forget the seriousness of sin. Oh, but Lord, never did you take sin more seriously than when you stepped out in history and brought forth the ultimate manifestation of your chesed, of your covenant love for us, expressed in the new covenant of the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And never do we see you in your goodness more than when you brought forth the greatest curse of all upon yourself, upon your Son, your only begotten Son. Can anyone here fathom that kind of love? Jeremiah convicts me. How much more would, as Paul would say, it constrains me, the love of God. It constrains me, moves me. Next time you, oh my, next time you sing, "Great is thy faithfulness," and you come to the third stanza, pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Think of that 85, 90-pound man, skin and bones, standing like a pillar of iron that didn't bend or break. He ran the horses into the ground. Standing, not attacking, but being under siege, he stood, for the Lord was with him. A peace. Oh, I want that peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength. Oh, you say, he's a Gebera. But he's an old man. But that's the way it is in the kingdom of God. Male or female, there is a strength that comes to us that comes only from the throne of God's grace and mercy, abounding. Strength for the day. Yes. And what kind of hope for tomorrow? Say it again. Bright. What kind of hope? Bright. Brilliant. Oh, this is Jeremiah. Bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings. Oh, I want to walk with the prophets, but I stumble and I falter, and I have more identification and empathy with his what? Affliction. His wormwood. Oh, even depression, whatever else. And that's coming down, falling down, stooping downness. Oh, we need to recall who God is. And then we will say, blessings all mine, and 10,000s beside. Great is thy, great is thy, morning by morning new. I what? Do you see? I want to see those mercies. All I have needed. This is Jeremiah's answer to Nebuchadnezzar and to any and all. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand. I don't need Benjamin, and I don't need Ishtar Gates and hanging gardens. All I really need is my collect. It's the Lord. He is my portion. He is my stay. He is my staff. He is my righteousness. He is my hope. I eagerly wait upon him. All I have needed, his hand hath what? Great is thy, what, class? Well, church, whatever. Great is thy, what? My God, unto me. Yes. Okay.
Thank you again for listening to this chapel message from Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. If you are thinking about theological education on the undergraduate or graduate level, including doctoral studies, we hope that you consider us. If you also find these chapel messages encouraging and a blessing to your walk with Christ, We hope that you will consider financially supporting Southeastern. Our graduates are literally serving the kingdom across this globe, working to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost, dying world. Your gifts will help to train more, and they will serve as a worthwhile investment in God's kingdom. You can find more information about attending Southeastern or supporting us financially at www.sebts.edu. We covet your prayers and trust that God will bless every good work you do for His glory. Thank you for joining us in our chapel services.